Well, hi, everyone. This is Mark. I am the Prepper Guy, and I wanted to do a podcast and a little bit of an update of what's been going on. Now, we got a new president. There's a lot of rumors going on and floating around about the Electoral College and fake news and all this happy crap. So I wanted to talk a little bit about it and some of my plans and what I've been doing with my websites and stuff. So stick around.
Hump day! Yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I'm a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
So, for many of you that may have been on the SovereignStateProject.com website, you'll see that I kind of put that on hold. I'm trying to shrink my social footprint, so to speak. Just a lot going on in my life and then working on some things. I'm trying to build me a little bit of a more private recording area. I'm not going to rebuild that one house for a while. It just doesn't feel right for me. So I'm taking a part of my barn, which is my ginormous man cave, and trying to make a decent little recording area where I can do videos and podcasts and such. So I've been working on that, which is kind of cool. I enjoy that stuff. And then I got to get my roof to stop leaking because it wants to, you know, leak all over my equipment, which is not cheap, even though I buy inexpensive stuff. I mean, it all starts to add up. So that's what I've been working on. And so I was dialing things back a little bit. And then also, I rant and rave about being a prepper all the time and why we prep. And usually it's because the government, and they're going to be the fly in the ointment or the wrench in the mechanism that screws everything all up. And with all the talk about the Electoral College, I was doing some study, which everyone should do, and looking into it. And I watch a lot of videos by Chris Ann Hall and Liberty First, I guess, website that she has. And her videos, a lot of them are her radio show, so they're, I guess, what they call a dead podcast or something, because it's not, you know, it's just on YouTube, and you have to watch it, and it's just a picture of her, which is fine. So I really go into depth on looking into things, because just what they tell us on Fox News and stuff, any of the news, is usually bullshit at best and downright lies and deceit and designed to manipulate us into thinking something is that is not. So you have to really look into the Electoral College. Now, I've done this before, and I've talked about the Electoral College before, and I actually had recorded this podcast last week and was editing it. And the more I found out about the Electoral College, the more I realized that I had part of it right, but not all of it right. So I watched some more videos, and it's hard to read things unless you can read the Federalist Papers and stuff. So you need a go-to source, and Chris Ann Hall is usually my go-to source. I like Judge Napolitano, but even then, you know, he's still a spokesman, and he doesn't drill down into the reality of things as much. He just explains to us the legal workings of the new Electoral College that we now find ourselves dealing with. So you don't get a full immersion into the way it was set up. And that's what really rocks my world and makes me want to be a better understanding type person of the Constitution, because that is the way it was written. And yeah, we've muddled along for 200 plus years and done okay, and we do have one of the best, freest countries to a point in the world, but that's just not good enough. I mean, you know, you could sit there and say a McDonald's hamburger is a pretty good hamburger, but it's not the hamburger that it should be going, you know, into the, you know, the aging of the meat and all of that stuff and some of the byproducts they put in there. Sure. Is it a good hamburger? Yeah. Is it better than a hamburger made out of dog or rat meat? Yeah, it is. So is it better than? Sure it is. You could go to Burger King and get one that has a little bit of a charbroiled flavor to it. Is it better than most of what the rest of the world is allowed to eat or can even find to eat? Sure it is. Is it the hamburger that you really want to eat all the time? No, it is not. So we look at our government and our country and our constitution this way, and we just go, well, you know, I've been all around the world, people will tell me, and I've traveled in the military and this and that, because a lot of my friends are ex-veterans and stuff. We live by a very large military contingent and, you know, a giant fort, and it's an intelligence-based fort. And you'll hear them talk, and they'll go, well, you know, I've been in this country and that country and over here and over there, and this is the best, which is telling me this is the best the world has to offer right now. So eat your McDonald's hamburger and be thankful it's not made out of rat meat. Oh, okay. Well, you know, for now, that's a good thing. I'll eat my McDouble. But what about redesigning the kitchen and the meat and everything? And going back to the original recipe, would that be so damn bad? Now, it may seem that way to you and many people that, you know, give a shit about our country, because when they talk about, and when I say they, I'm talking about they, the media and the talking heads and social media and your friends and all of the, just the noise that is out there and the chatter about what we are as a country and the Constitution. And so you get a lot of garbage, and then you think, well, the Constitution is just a flawed document written by a bunch of rich white men to keep slavery. And that's bullshit. And if you just read the preamble and the Declaration of Independence and just read through it at a cursory level, you'll see that it wasn't designed to entrap and to enslave people. It was designed to free people. And so we've gone a long way off of course to where we're happily heading down south to Mexico way. And I'm not saying this to be derogatory, but our course was actually to the east or to the west. But we're so far off the track and we're so misguided and so uninformed that we're kept in the dark. We don't get to see which way the sun's coming up. And so we don't even know which way north or east or west or south is. So we're happily walking this path thinking we're doing a good job, but we're really just wasting our time and we're getting farther and farther and farther away. So having learned this bit of knowledge on the Electoral College really kind of sent my head for a loop. Because I've always said for years and, you know, pretty much most of my life that this is not the way it was meant to be. And I get the old adage, well, you know, it's better than blah, blah, blah. And so it really kind of, I don't know, I can say it really upset the shit out of me. Because when you really look at the map and you go, okay, well, we were heading this way to the promised land, whatever direction that is. And when you really see how far off course you are, it's kind of discouraging. And you go, holy shit, now, you know, I've just wasted 100 years of my life. And how do you recorrect? Well, if over the time of wandering aimlessly in the wilderness, over 150, 200 years, the old path that you took, you can't just turn around and start marching back, because, you know, streams have turned into rivers. They've blocked the way. You have dams built. You have all this stuff now that you can't just go back to where you started and then start heading the right direction. which you'll find out usually in life that where you were going probably wasn't any better than where you were. So why were we going anywhere anyway? But we can't get back to there. We can't unscramble this scrambled egg. We can't unscrew this light bulb. It is the way it is now. Not because you or I probably couldn't just get in an airplane and fly back to where we started. You have to put it in a more, I don't know, kind of anecdotal way. You just can't get there from here anymore. And the reason that's happened is because of conniving people, sneaky bastards, and people that have never liked our country. They from the beginning, they have not liked this freedom and liberty and this movement that happened in America. It just blows their mind, and they're not in control. And control freaks do not like any level of loss of control. So what we've done is basically put our freedom and our liberty at risk by not paying attention. Just like, you know, when you watch any of the shows that are survival-based by Bear Grylls or whatever, normally you'll see that they're portraying or reenacting a situation you could get yourself into. How do you get yourself in that situation? By not paying attention. You know, you don't have 3 points of contact when you're climbing, and all of a sudden you're hanging precariously from a root that's on a rotten tree about ready to fall off the edge. How do you get out of that? And that's what's happened to America. We just weren't paying attention. And now we are hanging from that root. We are hanging literally from a thread. And if you struggle too much, it'll probably break. So what do we do to get back to square one? So with the Electoral College, I always thought it worked a certain way. And I wasn't really too far off base as far as knowing that the primary season is just a bunch of corporate people, no different than the Super Bowl. It's not government. It's not part of our election process. It's become a part of it because we've allowed it to be, but it's not really the way it works. They've turned it into a two-party system, and these conventions and the primaries and all this hoopla is just really pre-game warm-up bullshit to get us all energized and motivated and, yay, I like this guy. Yay, I like that gal. Yay, that person over there is pretty cool, and look at their hair. And so what we've done is got caught up into the pregame, and we're not focused on the real sport. And so you have these delegates and all that, and then people think they're electorates, and then we think this is the way it is, and how can the Republican Party do that, or how can the Democratic Party do that? Well, it's really easy. The same way Coke can change their recipe. It's a company. It's a corporation. They'll do whatever they want. We're not even really any better than the fans or the spectators. An NFL team doesn't really give two shits about what you think or who you would like to be the quarterback. Ah, sure, they'll bounce it off your head and get a few opinions and all that and get some momentum going and get some excitement going, and yay, this is going to be the best game ever because we got this quarterback now. That dude rocks. Did you see him in high school? He rocked. He's a great guy. Oh, big effing deal. So we're off track, and we've been allowed or pulled or guided that way by the rings in our noses, basically. And we're just being pulled along. So the primaries are just business. It's not government. And then electors were different. So I was shocked to see that the real Electoral College and the real election of the president was set up totally different than what we do today. Originally, the president was never elected by popular vote. Any vote, for that matter, other than the Electoral College, which were the electors. They didn't have an Electoral College back then. So the electors would get together and cast their votes. And that was that. You, as a U.S. citizen, had no say in that whatsoever. So you think to yourself, well, that's really effed up. I'm glad we changed that. No, not really, because see, how it really works is the people you vote for are your representation, your congressman in your district. That's where your vote comes in. You pick good people in your district that can truly represent your part of the flyover states or the country, and the representative should only represent so many people. They shouldn't have gerrymandered it, but that's a whole nother thing. So now it's all effed up too, which leads me even to be more pissed off about the way things are and just how far off course and how lost we really are. So you elect your representative, your congressman in your district. So when you vote and you see, oh, I'm part of District 29. Okay, then that's the congressman you're electing. He's probably a local guy or gal that you've met. You might have went to school with the person. And that person then represents you and your community at a state level. So your vote really did count. Now, what they used to do before the 17th Amendment is they would get together and they would pick two senators. They actually chose them. They didn't vote or any of that crap. It was kind of, you know, hey, what about this guy? Okay, cool. Maybe, you know, maybe it was a vote to a point. And they were always in a state of recall. So the senators then would take all of what you told your representative of what you want from your state, and they would go to Washington, and they would represent the state as senators and tell the president what to do. The president was never elected by the people, and he didn't represent the people. He's a spokesman for the state and all the people in the state when it comes to external government affairs. So the Founding Fathers wanted an ambassador for all of the states when he goes out of the country and represents treaties and commerce and wars, any of that stuff, free trade agreements, no trade agreements, whatever it was, he would be in the back of his mind going, well, this is what my 50 states want. They've all told me through their senators, and the senators were made very clear what you wanted through your representatives. So the Congress had everyone by the short hairs, and you had your congressman. So what happened was, and they decided, well, whatever, you know, let's have the 17th Amendment, and then that way you can't just get pissed off at your senator because he's not representing you. And you can't recall them. We're going to have it by popular vote. So then it moved up to becoming another stupid-ass election. So it was never meant to be that way. In fact, if your senator, like the ass clown that we have in Arizona, McCain, well, actually both of them are ass clowns. They're elected now for 6 years. For five of those 6 years, they don't have to listen to a damn thing the people say, because they'll wait until the sixth year, and then everyone will wake up and go, oh, I got to vote again. And then you'll listen to the hype and the BS, and then, you know, he's done so much corrupt shit that, or she, that all of a sudden they can talk out of both sides of their mouth. They can, you know, just do whatever they want, and they can have their commercials and they run their political ads, and they say, oh, I voted this way for these people. And then when they're talking to someone else, they'll go, well, yeah, I supported that for you. You know, and there's no representation. Whereas before, the congressman, the guy you elected or the gal you put in office, says, hey, this senator, he went to Washington and told the president to build this bridge to nowhere. Recall him. And that was it. The guy's job was over. He was recalled immediately. And another senator was put in his place to represent you. That's how it used to work. So if you didn't want that bridge to nowhere and your senator decided to bring home the bacon, they'd build this bridge to nowhere because someone, you know, there's people out there that want to build that bridge. I'm sure there's a union or a construction company that wants to build that bridge to nowhere. So, you know, he'll give me a lot of money. See, that did not happen. So, you know, when they talk about a constitutional convention, they talk about a balanced budget, horseshit. And they talk about stopping lobbyists. Well, if you want to do that, both of them, just you know, write a new amendment to get rid of the 17th Amendment, just like we did with Prohibition. That was an amendment. It was passed. It was part of the Constitution. Years later, everyone went, this is the stupidest thing we've ever done. They wrote a new amendment, added that to the Constitution. It was ratified, because that's how you change shit. It was ratified, and all of a sudden, the constitutional amendment for Prohibition went away. That was it. It's like accounting. You never erase a mistake. You just do another entry to correct that mistake. That's how the Constitution is. So they could do away with the 17th Amendment. We would get control of our senators again. And then when you talk to your representative, he talks to the senator. The senator goes to the president and says, this is what the states want. And the president does that. That's his, it's his job. He is the ambassador of the judiciary, the executive branch, whatever you want to call it. He doesn't represent all the people. He's not the most powerful man in the world. He's just a dude that has the ear of the people. You, me. So that's how it worked. That's how far off course we are. Do you think that will ever change? Hell no. You can have constitutional conventions until hell freezes over or the cows come home. It's not going to change anything, because right now all of our representatives are talking about a constitutional convention to where we can have a balanced budget. Oh, ain't that cute? No one's going to give a shit about that. There's all kinds of laws that say we need to have a balanced budget. In fact, it's part of the Constitution. No one gives a shit. You know why? Because we have the Federal Reserve, which is unconstitutional. See, all this stuff has now grown over the weeds to the old trail to get back to where we started. It will never happen. I don't mean to be a naysayer or a doom and gloomer, but it will never, ever, ever, ever happen. No one is willing to do that. Not because there's not good people out there like maybe you and I that would like to see it and we would fight for it. You'll just never hear about it. It will get no traction. To quote the media, it'll have no legs. It will go nowhere. Because no one cares, because there's 300 million people. So when you want to know why I'm so pessimistic about that, well, just take a look at your Facebook page. Take a look at Twitter, Instagram, whatever social media you're on. It's like herding cats or kittens even. You know, they're all going to move in their chaos way in different directions. You can make a good post. And everyone go, yay, right on. You're just like me. You think like I do, buddy. Yeah, until the next post when you talk about changing the election process back to the original. And they're like, well, I kind of don't like the Electoral College. Oh, well, what's wrong about it? Well, you know, it's not the vote of the people. So then you write another post, try to explain to these people what the Constitution says and how much better we would be if we went back to that. And then all of a sudden you've lost a friend, because now you're just one of them. You're weird. You know, what about the safety nets? What about Social Security? What about taxation? Well, we need to tax the shit out of the rich, because there's people on Social Security that have counted on that money. Well, first of all, if it was their money, they wouldn't be counting on it. It would be sitting in a pile somewhere with their frickin' name on it. So you don't even realize that it's all just another smoke and mirrors scam. And when you add them all up, you realize that we are not fighting insurmountable odds. We are fighting against the entire universe. You've got, just in America, 300 million people, you know, that kind of vote and are half-ass paying attention. Let's say 200 million people. Of all of your Facebook friends, how big of a slice of America does that represent? And all of the agendas. And all of the naysayers and the yaysayers and the doom and gloomers and the happy-go-luckies, they're all off in their own world, which is how America should have been. You just go work. Once in a while, you go to an election. You elect your representative. He does his job. You keep an eye on him. If you hear something in the news or read the paper that the guy is being an idiot, you just get rid of him, you know. They used to only represent, I don't know the actual legal amount according to the Constitution, but we should have a lot more congressmen in Washington. And they shouldn't even go to Washington. That's not even their job. I don't want my congressman ever leaving my district except to go to the state capitol and tell the senators what all of us hick hayseeds in the flyover states told him to do. Now, whether all the other hick hayseed counties and districts disagree, that's fine. See, because now your opinion matters. It was said. It was voiced. And if enough people in the state think that this is bullshit to lose all of our land to the feds for a stupid-ass park so there's no more ranching and no more farming, and then the EPA is going to come along and tell you that that little fish pond you built in the backyard for your koi is now a marshland and being regulated by the federal government in some oversight committee like Darth Vader. So that's what we want. See, you want to be heard. And so you had maybe, let's just say 5,000-6,000 people in your district that are all farmers. And they want, you know, this or they want that. Then they take it to the state and they take it to their senator. And then they take it to the president. And the president does not do things against that. It's not like his job was to do shit every day to make our lives suck. And then we had to go tell our congressman, hey, go tell him to knock it off. Hey, stop that. Hey, don't do this. Hey, what are you doing over here? Hey. They went to him and said, don't do this shit. And that was that. The president didn't do it. In the story, we were free. We were able to do things. You wanted to be a farmer? Go farm. You wanted to raise goats? Go raise goats. You wanted to do shit? Do it. George Washington was a moonshiner, for frickin' sake. He was a distiller. He made whiskey. He didn't have a license from the ATF. He just made it. It made the country a lot of money. It made him a lot of money. The economy in his area was doing good. Why? Because he hired people. If you didn't like drinking whiskey, don't drink it. Big deal. Well, a lot of people are going to drink that. And you know, it's a gateway alcohol to some other drug that we haven't invented yet. No, just don't drink it. If you got some morals and you don't like drinking, don't drink it. If you don't think it affects you, then don't do it. If you get drunk and become an asshole, the next free American that you step in his line of fire and you start invading his rights, you might end up getting your ass kicked. You might get into a duel. You might get shot. You might get arrested by the sheriff. But that's, you can't control it to the point to where it's like, you know, 1 in 1,000 people are going to get drunk and you know, piss somebody off. So we need to protect everyone. We even need to protect the drunk. Oh, okay. Well, so much for Darwin and the survival of the fittest, because that guy would get his ass kicked, fall off a cliff, something. You get drunk. Wander off looking for gold and die, get attacked, get eaten by a bear. It all worked itself out. I'm not saying that's the way it has to be, but there was consequences for your actions when you were free. But I've said this before, people do not like the thought of freedom and liberty. They just don't like the reality of it, that you're free to do the stupidest shit, go bankrupt, and be on the street. Homeless, begging for food because you made bad choices. You became an alcoholic and you fried your brain. You became a crack addict and lost all your teeth and can't get a job because you're an idiot. That's your choice. I'm not going to fund it. But along comes the government and some politician, probably a senator trying to bring home the bacon, that says, well, we need a safety net. Well, we need another safety net. How about some more safety nets? Whose choice was it to get pregnant? Yours and your girlfriend's. Now all of a sudden we got a single mom. Well, who's going to take care of her? What about daycare? Oh, do we need daycare? Sure, she needs to work. Why? Pay taxes. Oh, is that constitutional? Not so much. So it's just mushroomed into a disaster. It will never, ever, ever correct course because there's not the initiative or the drive or the movement to go back that far and to fix things that messed up. I mean, think about it in your own life. Let's just say that while I'm talking to you, you went, holy shit, I heard that. I read that. I know that's true. I'm going to look into it. That's great. We should go back to a constitutional republic. Are you going to do it? I mean, let's factor in religion here a little bit. There's a song by Alanis Morissette that, you know, one of the verses says, "What if God was one of us?" And you've heard the song. And at one point in the song, she goes, basically, I'm going to paraphrase it because I suck at, you know, remembering exact verbiage. She says, you know, would you do it if you found out that it was true? Would you live that way? Would you change your life if you found out that that was God and that's what he expected of you? I mean, because I know that the majority of people will not do it. Hell, even Christians don't follow it. Because see, they got their Bible and then they read something and they go, oh, I don't like that. I'm going to go to this church because they say I can do that. Oh, cool. So you can twist it around because it's based on faith. Let's face facts. And so is the Constitution and how it worked. You had to have faith that if you create freedom and liberty, that the majority of people will do the right thing. And so no one's going to do it. No one's going to do it any more than for the past 2, 3, 4, 5,000 years, people have followed the damn Ten Commandments. And that's just 10. 10 easy peasy commandments that don't even require a belief in a God. Just don't steal. Well, I need morality to understand the concept of theft. No, you don't. Get robbed once. You'll go, wow, that sucked. All my cool shit's gone. I worked hard for that. I built that. That was mine. Now it's gone. And then open your stupid little brain. And I'm not talking to you, you know, figuratively like we're all stupid. I'm just saying, open that brain that we have and go, well, if it sucked so bad for me to lose my stuff, why would I do that to someone else? And then you've got it. You've got it. Many people I know on Facebook have had spouses cheat on them. That's the concept of adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Do you need God in there? No, not at all, really. Have you ever had anyone cheat on you so much that it broke your heart? You cried for a week. Not because of maybe the superficial part of it. It's just because you put your faith in that person. They had trust. They had a level of intimacy and they were part. You literally opened your heart and you said, you're welcome in here. And they took a crap. So it hurts. So why would you do that to someone else? See, all you got to do is flip it and go, well, if that happened to me and it hurts so bad that I almost committed suicide, why would I put someone else in that position? And you got it. So all the commandments are that way, except the first two that he supposedly gave us way back in the day. Love him and love your fellow man. That was it. Those were the only ones that he ever really talked about. Love God. Not that you know him, never seen him, he's never wrote you a letter, never sat down and had a beer with the guy. I mean, quite literally, barely know him, other than that if you have the faith that there is a creator, whatever his or her name is, you should give them that love. So I go, okay, if I can do that one thing, if I can just give this one unseen, unknown entity love, then because I have life, then all he's asking me to do is treat others as I would like to be treated. See, that's where you open that box. You open your brain and you go, if I didn't like it, why would I do that to someone else? So you don't need all this religious stuff in your mind. You just need to realize that as human beings, we have some kind of obligation to not be total dicks. So that's, is it any more simple than that? And people can't even do that. If we could go back to that, the world would be a better place. And yet, there's, I don't know, last count, 5,000-6,000 different religions that are all based on just the King James Version of the Bible. We have people saying that you can cut people's heads off in the name of God. You can do this. You can kill babies. You can do all these things in the name of God. Is it true or not? I don't know. Because, see, there are no answers to that. Because that's an eternal question. We'll know when we get there. No one's told us because everyone's dying to find out. And they never came back and said, dude, that was the way to do it. So that's why we don't have that. That there's a veil. There's something between what God, whatever his name is, wanted. And he put that veil there so we don't know. Because if we knew, then it'd be so easy. But we do know about the Constitution. We do know it's based on sound principles written by men that had studied history. They'd seen all of the corruption for hundreds and hundreds of years in England. They had seen the, you know, kings make promises and then break them. So they set it up this way. It's so simple. I mean, you know, the best solution to a problem is usually the easiest, the simplest. So it was set up that way. Do you think that the majority, I'm not even going to talk about the 200-300 million Americans. Let's say you have a following on Facebook of 500 fans, friends, whatever. Do you think you could get them all on the same page to vote a certain way in the next election? No. I mean, I lost Facebook friends over Ted Cruz because I'm a purist. He's not a natural-born citizen. Don't give a shit about what all the legal system now says. It's talking about the way it was written back then and the intent of that rule and what it was based on, history. The founding father said, no, we've seen this before when a country like France is forced to accept the king that came from, I don't know, England or wherever he was born. And then that prejudice for where that person was born was brought into France and started changing their culture. And they didn't like it. It's simple. It's not rocket science. So it was based on that. And they said, no, he's got to be natural born. What does that mean? It means this, this, and this. Okay, end of story. I'm done. That's all I needed to know. See, I didn't need to dig and drill down and figure out all the minutia. It's just, it was based on very real stuff. I understand the premise. So I'm just going to follow it. So it's not going to happen. It's not. Just get over it. Just, it's, the egg is not going to be, you know, you see those, they used to have them on commercials on TV where you stick your egg on this little like pin. So it didn't even break the egg. You just poked it in there. And then that needle would sit there and spin and it would oscillate and it would literally scramble that egg so fine that it looked, I mean, it was like all one color and liquefied. And then you think that you're just going to crack that egg open and out's going to come a sunny side up egg? No, it's scrambled. Get over it. So I'm going to take a little break because I'm sure most of you are tuning out now and going, okay, Mark, you're rambling. So I'll be right back.
Preppers should always be prepared, and the Prepper Guy can help you find the supplies you need without having to get lost in a big box store or on a website designed to sell you everything else. Our online store offers a focused shopping experience, making it easy to zoom in to find what you need. Because we affiliate with Amazon to deliver our goods around the world, you'll always find the best values too. Find what you need at doomsdaydepot.com. Remember, that's Doomsday with a Z, where you can zoom in to find what you need and learn more at prepperguy.com too.
So I'm gonna stop talking about the Electoral College because you really can't talk about it. I mean, it would require a complete rebuild, and that's not gonna happen. And whatever. So now we're into the world and the realm of fake news. Our fearless leader and the ass clowns in Washington that we've elected. Oh, great! Glad your vote counted. Have decided to put the FCC. Under the CIA authority. Now, many people don't know that the FBI is Federal Bureau of Investigation. That has to do with what goes on in the country. The CIA is Central Intelligence Agency, which has to do with shit going on in the world. So their authorities are supposed to be defined that way. So why is the FCC under the CIA? Because that's international shit. Wouldn't it make more sense if it was the FBI? Because at least that has a pulse on the American people. No. See, it's done to screw us once again. And this gets into this fake news hoopla bullshit that they're talking about, which is another big problem. See, we think we have freedom of media, but no, you don't. And now they're really pushing this to get control of the internet. They did that with their ICANN, turning that over to some dopey ass consortium, which is the UN. So now the FCC is over the CIA, which is really bad. And then it could just be like, so the hell what? Because see, that's federal communications, whatever's the other commission. Well, no one gives a shit in a state what the federal government wants. We don't have to follow federal law. We do because we try to keep law and order. We try not to be dicks. But quite literally, we could tell the FCC to go pound sand and just do whatever we want because we're a sovereign state and we don't have to listen to them pukes in Washington. But getting back to, you know, how we do our elections now, I guess that doesn't matter either. So this is just another nail in the coffin. But now it'll be, you know, they're already controlling the internet. They're already screwing with websites. Now they've got their fake news thing. And now the CIA can be over the FCC, which no one should care about, but we seem to care about. The federal government's like this drunk uncle that always shows up and wrecks everything. But the reality is, do we really care that drunk Uncle Bob is marrying some crazy lady from Mars? No, because it really doesn't affect our lives. It only affects our lives when we allow it to. So now we have this going on, and it's really a push for fake news. And to help you, as an American, to get the right news. Because, see, the right news was back when they changed the 12th Amendment, which is how we actually really are supposed to elect a president. There was supposed to be a vote for the president and a separate vote, the same kind of vote, for a vice president. So you didn't have a running mate. That's bullshit. They just had basically two elections. And how that worked was, you know, made a lot more sense than what the dog and pony show we have now. But anyway, FDR, the giant prick of the North or whatever we want to call him, you know, came down from hell being a control freak, socialist, progressive jackass that he was. And he threw a temper tantrum, basically, according to Chris Ann Hall, who studies this shit in depth because she's a lawyer, said that he threw a fit. He's like, no, I'm not gonna run for president if I can't pick my own running mate. And at that moment in time, in history, it changed. And the two-party system was created. And there was, you know, Democrat Party and the Republican Party and probably some other goofy-ass parties out there, just like we have now. But no one said dick about the fact that we were now going to not follow the Constitution. Both parties were fine with it, both major parties. Because why? Well, it gave them more control. It created this big Ponzi scheme, bullshit pyramid of hype and pomp and ceremony of the conventions and the primary elections and all that. It's like, whoa, now we can really rake in some money. So that change from one person throwing a little temper tantrum changed things. Now, that would be great if we could change it back, but that ain't going to happen because now we're all totally aware. So hence comes the push for stopping fake news. Well, why would they want to do that? I mean, who really cares? I mean, that's like controlling the conversation in a bar with a bunch of drunks. Who gives a shit? It's a conversation. The next day you sober up and you go, whatever he was talking about was pretty weird. Or you might come up with a really good idea. Who cares? But see, the FCC and big media and all these outlets that control the primaries and make a shit ton ass grip of money on this election thing really love the whole thing because we got senator elections, we got all these elections, we got the primaries, and then we have the general election, and then we can talk ad nauseum about the electoral college and all that. We can't have people like Chris Ann Hall out there talking about shit because that's fake news. We can't have Alex Jones ranting and raving about this bit of information that I just shared with you over the FCC being turned over to the, you know, CIA. I mean, it's not completely like, okay, now it's the CIA. They're just, the CIA will have board members in the FCC. I mean, they don't do it so blatantly that where they just take a sledgehammer to your new car and then you're like, why'd you do that? They just slowly drive you through a shitstorm until your car is trashed. Well, we can't have that. We don't need people understanding what's going on. In fact, we want everyone so freaking dumbed down that they have no concept of what is going on. We really want the American electorate to be cattle pushed into the feedlot, dumbed down, almost stupider than cows, because cows aren't that damn dumb. And so we can slaughter them. Now, they don't cut us up and make Soylent Green, like the old movie Soylent Green with Charlton Heston. No, what they do is they run us through the feedlot. We're so dumbed down, we have no liberty, so we just go into the feedlot. They tax the shit out of us. They work us to the bone until there's no substance left on our carcass, and then they kick us out the other side. Well, that's okay, though. They promise to take care of us with Social Security once they kick us out the other side. Because trust me, if you're following the system exactly, you're not going to have any retirement in your own account anyway. Because they've taken so much from you, you don't have an extra $2,000 a year to put in a dumbass IRA even. Unless you get really lucky and make a lot of money. Well, that's a handful of people that do that. Used to be a lot more because they didn't have us taxed to death, so everything you built for your family you kept, and each generation could expound on it and make it more and more valuable. Well, no, now see, if you're not the superstar and makes that winning pass, then the next generation ain't going to have shit anyway because they've taken it all. So you go out and make a lot of money, and then you could set up a foundation like all the rich people do. Just another rule that, you know, takes a lot of money. So if you've got that much money, then you can do that. But if you're just you or I, and let's say you make good money, you know, a couple hundred thousand a year, you're one of the rich. You're one of them assholes that should be robbed senseless for all the dopey ass crackheads out there that are too fucking stupid to stop being stupid. Well, you buy a house, that's taxed to shit. You don't own the house because property tax. They'll raise your property tax to build some school that will produce more cattle for the feedlot. And then when you die, there's inheritance tax and all this stuff that they say they'll change, but they never will. And it's like a lying spouse that every time they cheat on you, they give you flowers. And then, I'm sorry. And you believe them. That's the government. So you make this money and then none of it's left. See, you're not at that level. You don't have FU money. You just have enough to get by and maybe have a nice life. Raise your kids, send them to college. Why, I don't know. So you're one of those people that you do good, you bust your ass, you try, you play by all the rules, and somehow you eke out a little better than average existence, and so you got some toys, and then that's it. So normally in the past, you build a ranch maybe or a farm or a business, and then your kids took over when you got old and they helped you, you know, retire basically. And they ran the business because that was part of what they were paying for the business, is to take care of you. And then they build it up a little bit better. And then one of their kids grows up with a great idea and makes that business really successful. And after, you know, a few generations, you're like the Vanderbilts were. I mean, there was one generation of the Vanderbilts that actually had a shit together, but they were always building on what they had. And then all of a sudden he took it to another level. He kept all his money. He wasn't taxed to death. Vanderbilts were one of the last families that probably weren't ass raped by a federal government because there was no income tax back then. What you made, you kept. Well, that doesn't exist anymore. So they don't want you knowing all this. See, I watched the whole thing on the Vanderbilts, and it was really cute and all that. And what about this? And what about that? And, you know, oh, this, there was an affair. And oh, there was that. But the opening 5 minutes, you learned everything about the Vanderbilt family. They were immigrants. They weren't exceedingly wealthy. They were just another family. And then the one guy got into shipping. And at one time, the Vanderbilts had more ships than the United States Navy. They were allowed to do that. See, nowadays, that wouldn't happen. Who's building that ship? Are they part of this union? No. Did you pass all these certificates? No. Did you do that? No. Oh, okay, well, then you're out of business. Go F yourself and shut up and go on welfare. Back then, you could do it. So Dante, it talks about how he amassed his wealth in the first 5-10 minutes of the show, and then the rest of it was all just fluff and bullshit. Now that to me is fake news. But Anderson Cooper, you know, his mother is the heiress to the Vanderbilts, so you would think that he would, you know, want to talk about how the Vanderbilt fortune was built and how cool it would be if we could go back to that. But no, he wanted to talk about art and clothing and this and that and how her mother did this and her father did that. And, well, yeah, that's all, you know, People Magazine shit. I could find that out just by watching freaking soap operas almost. So you don't get the meat of what really happened. And so you get that with people like Alex Jones to a point. You have to filter that too, but you get a whole lot more information than you'll ever get out of the main networks and the mainstream. You know, the Fox News, you know, what's his name? Tucker Carlson. I try to like him. I try to like them all. But the reality is they're all as dumb as dirt when it comes to real news. I mean, they were talking about the Electoral College and some professor goes, well, we got to do away with the Electoral College because it's just too complicated to explain to people. It's like, really? You're a professor? You get paid for that kind of stupidity? And then Tucker Carlson makes this comment, and I'll actually, where he makes a comment about, well, yeah, cities, big cities should get more of the electoral vote, population vote, because there's more people, more jobs, more wealth. It's like, what? No. See, the Electoral College is set up for podunk USA. 10 people that work their asses off to build a better life for their family. And their vote counts too. Nothing goes on in a city except bean counting. They don't produce anything. Sure, some cities have a factory or two, but that's been eliminated. So why should they get more vote than someone else? So everyone gets a vote, one person, one vote. It's how they're tallied that matters. So fake news is mainstream because mainstream is telling us the Electoral College is bullshit. They're telling us Donald Trump is all this stuff that he wasn't. They're telling us Hillary's not a crook when she is. That's fake news. So you got to keep your hat on, you know, about this. So I'm going to kind of switch this all up and get back to what I originally wanted to talk about in this podcast, which was why I'm dialing back my social footprint. I'm tired of it. I guess I've gotten to that point to where I looked at the map and actually realized how far off course we are. I'm a realist enough to know that you can't go back. You can't unscramble this. It's a mess. And with the push of the, you know, internet and ICANN and FCC and all this, it's just like, it really isn't worth it to me. I tell young people and millennials, I go, this matters to you. And you're the generation that go, I don't care. But see, it affects you. It's not going to affect me. I've been a prepper my whole life. If the world ended, the only thing that would affect me is if they just blackbag me and throw me in a ditch and shoot me. Other than that, I'll be fine. I'm ready. I could live off of the land out in the middle of nowhere and never come in contact with another human being again as long as I lived, and I wouldn't care. I'd be fat and happy and living a good life. But you, the younger folks, you utes out there, you have families, you have homes, you have mortgages, you have dreams and hopes. You're vulnerable. You need that. You need it to be fixed. And it's not going to be, but you need to learn, because maybe, just maybe, it can be fixed. I've just reached a point where I go say, it can't be fixed. I've seen it going on for 40, 50 years, watching the corruption. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know that I was being taken so far off course. But when I fought, I was one in a million, fighting the feds, fighting the state, arguing with police and friends of mine that were in law enforcement, telling them that the Second Amendment applied this way, that the ATF and the federal firearms didn't affect United States citizens. And I had a good friend of mine. He was retired DEA. He goes, you know what? If I pull you over and you quote the Second Amendment to me, he goes, I'm going to arrest you for being a smartass. It's like, really? Is that what they teach you in school? So I tried enlightening people, tried helping people. I tried with this podcast to get the word out. I make videos that are random and stupid, and people are like, what an idiot. But, you know, there's no traction. YouTube's got their algorithms so screwed up now. You know, if they want more views, why don't they just start showing porn? Because they've got it so screwed up, content providers are getting jerked around, and, you know, maybe they'll fix it. Whatever. Who cares? So I've gotten to the point where it's just like, I don't care. I got shit to do. I'm building me a little recording studio. I'm working on my barn. I'm going to, you know, this week off, I'm going to, work on my quad. Screw around. I was going to go camping if I didn't have horses and stuff and, you know, animals to feed while my wife's out of town. I thought, I'll just go out and do my own 72-hour bug-out challenge. Can't do it. But, and it's cold and, you know, I'm lazy. I'm old. So it can't really get to me. It can't get under my skin. It did that years ago when I was young and had a family and was raising kids and worried about paying electric and all these social chains that we put on ourselves. And now I'm at a point to where it's like, you know what? I mean, quite literally, if they took everything I had through some legal shenanigans, I don't care. I really don't. You know, I'll be like Jeremiah Johnson, who gave up on society. Even back then, he's like, you know what? I'm going to go out there and just lay low and eat rabbits and make shit out of sticks and have a damn good time like I did when I was a kid. And would it bum me out? Sure, I've worked hard on all this stuff. It's my house. I built it. But you know what? It's not at that level because I don't have little kids living under my roof counting on me to make sure they're fed. You do. You a millennial? Are you an SEO guy? You got a successful podcast or a news show or videos, YouTube channel? You're the one that should be preaching this message. Maybe not repeating my message, but just looking into it and going, hey, this is effed up. We got to fix it. Now, see, everyone's all worried about squishy unicorns and, oh, don't hurt someone's feelings. And we need a safe space. Safe space? Country used to be a safe space. Now you need a safe space from the people that run your country. And you're expecting them to give you a safe space. That's like asking the guy that's robbing you blind to leave you, I don't know, something. And okay, can you just leave the keys to my car? No, I'm carjacking you, dick. Well, can you take me to the Circle K at least so I can not be, you know, out here in the wilderness? No, screw you. And you're asking them for safe space. Are you really that shallow? So it's the younger, it's the youth. I have no faith in the youth. I look at them and see disjointed, irrational, lost and confused individuals who have been beat down by society. And they think that that's normal because they watch their parents be beat down by society. It's where they have no concept of what it used to be like, nor an inkling to even find out. If you look into it, you'll see that putting aside all of the prejudices and the bullshit and the lies that you've been told, if we went back to the Constitution, if we were taken back in time with all the laws that existed in the 1700s and 1800s, and we were free to be moonshiners like George Washington, but it was now, you'd see every problem on social media go away. Nobody would be crying about all this shit because it wouldn't exist. It didn't exist. And it's not because technology has changed. It's because the system has put us in a box. And all we do is yell and hold on to the bars and shake the cell door and rant and rave on Facebook and Twitter, talking about the injustice of the prison we've allowed be built around us with our own money, that of our parents' money and our grandparents' money. So I've shrunk my social media and I'm going to continue to shrink it. I'm going to go back to talking about prepping and nutrition. I'm going to do away with a lot of my Facebook pages. Not that anyone cares. A lot of my websites. And I'm just going to live my life. It's my life. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to continue to tell people that want to hear and want to listen that it may not be able to be fixed. But if we tweak our lives to where it's better, to where we're happier, to where we're not the ones rattling on the cages going, let me out. This is unfair. Why did they do that? This person hurt me. I'm unfriending him. And we could just be happy. And if the mood of the country changes to where we just maybe just in our own home a little freer, then I think we'll live a better life. Because you're not going to stop the rain. And it's not rain. It's a downpour coming our way. And it's all happening. All you got to do is look at it. You can't stop it. Our great grandparents maybe could have stopped it. But they didn't. Because they were bought into it too. It's just history. Psychohistory. You can predict the future by looking at masses of people. And you can say in 10 years from now, there'll be this many people living in this little area. And if you do this one thing, they will react this way. If you do another thing, they'll react that way. It's gravity. It's inertia in motion. You're not going to stop it. You can try. And if that makes you happy, then do it. But I'm not. I'm happier doing other things. I'm happier going out to my grill and making some bacon and having a breakfast and then going working on my barn. Going to my place of business and hopefully making enough money to pay all the bullshit that's been sprinkled on us. To where, you know, 100 years ago, me and my wife had the same business. We'd be doing really well. She wouldn't even have to work. Now it's just, you know, it gets us by. Keeps us out of trouble and jail. And that's about it. So that's what I enjoy doing. And that's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to continue to podcast, probably just as randomly and sporadically as I've been doing. I know the algorithms don't like me on Facebook and the algorithms in YouTube and stuff. If you like what I have to say, then continue to share it and listen to it. I'm not trying to get 100 million views. I could do viral stuff and get a bunch of subscribers. I want people that actually care to listen to it and go, as a prepper, I like this guy's philosophy. Hey, Bob, listen to this podcast. It's all I care about. I enjoy doing it because it helps me vent. It helps me take all the thoughts that I've had running through my head and kind of get them out and hear them. And then it's kind of like taking that big breath when you've been underwater for a while. You come up and you take that big breath and it's just like, oh, that's so good. So that's what I'm going to continue to do. I hope you that have been listening all along haven't gotten discouraged. I've just been busy. I haven't had time. I've had a lot of problems and basically train wrecks happening in my life. And I got it under control. I'm a little better now. I'm happier. My health is still great. I still don't take medication. It wasn't a medical thing that crashed my life and my podcast. It's just confusion and disillusion. And I think if you listen to this podcast in its entirety, you'll kind of see where I've been and where I'm coming out of and the woods that I'm finding my way out of. So we're going to go back to prepping and nutrition. I like those things. There'll always be politics sprinkled in because that's what causes us to prep and the lies that make us unhealthy. So there you have it. I hope all of you have an awesome new year. And I hope your Christmas was filled with just joy and peace and content, not on a religious aspect, but just being with family and just relaxing. Even if you just sat down and watched a movie and just chilled the hell out, that's great. Drink some bourbon, smoke a joint, whatever it is. I hope your Christmas was just flipping great. And I hope this new year is great. But, you know, we shall see. You all have a happy 2017, and we will be talking during that year, maybe just analyzing WTF.
Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this show. I hope I brought something to the table for you all. As always, go to prepperguy.com, read the show notes, and run over to YouTube. Check out my channel every once in a while. I'll have a video out there, and sometimes I do the whole episode as a video. And then also, for all your prepper needs, go to doomsdaydepot.com. That's doomsdaydepot.com for any end-of-the-world supplies you may need. Other than that, I hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you later. As always, enjoy the apocalypse.